Do you want me to move it?
No, I think it's... Would you put it on the floor?
No, it's just on the table.
I know. Oh.
So should we put it on the floor?
That pine cone.
Make sure it doesn't get pulled off.
There he is.
Okay, Arthur.
I can do this for like a minute.
All right, it is 5:31, and I'm calling the meeting to order of the Board of Directors of the Desert Healthcare District, and I'd like the roll to be called.
Director Shore?
Director Shore, are you there?
Present by phone.
Director Borja?
Here.
Director Perezquio?
Here.
Director Rogers? Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President Ibarra?
Here.
And President Zindo?
Here. And I'm going to ask...
Pledge of Allegiance.
I'm going to ask Mr. Scott to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
Please rise.
Would everyone repeat after me?
Repeat after me.
I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's in the East Coast, there's a time delay. Okay. Before we approve the agenda, I'm going to turn to Mr. Scott to introduce an amendment to the agenda.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. I'd like to ask that an item be added to the agenda pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.2B2. The item arose subsequent to the posting of the agenda, and there is a need for the board to take action. The item involves a new lease at the Las Palmas Medical Center that staff was able to final an agreement with. And the tenant needs to move in on December 1st. So that is why it needs to be added to the agenda as item number 3 to J1. That's under the Finance Committee report. So I thought we would put it under that. Let's see. Yes, J1.1, and it'll be item 3.
Mr. President, as Chairman of the Finance Committee, I'd move approval of that because anytime we can get the lease money sooner, it's better.
Okay, and I understand that it requires a two-thirds vote.
Yes.
So can we do we have to call the roll or can we just vote?
Well, I think we can go ahead and vote.
Okay, all in favor of amending to add this to the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
None opposed, so the agenda is amended. And all in favor of accepting the agenda as amended, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Great.
Aye.
Great.
Also, Mr. President, the report after closed session of our special meeting earlier today, the board in closed session discussed new programs, services, and facilities and took no action. The board also discussed discussed CEO evaluation matters.
Thank you. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The board has a policy of limiting speakers to no more than 3 minutes. The board cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on agenda items later when they come up for discussion and/or action. Are there any public comments at this time? Madam Mayor.
No real podium here, but I'll just wing it. Good evening. I'm Linda Evans, Chief Strategy Officer of Community Advocacy for the Desert Care Network, which of course is Desert Regional Medical Center, JFK Memorial Hospital, and High Desert Medical Center up in Joshua Tree. Tonight, I'm speaking on behalf of Gary Hontz, CEO of JFK Memorial Hospital, part of our network, and I wanted to share a few accomplishments this past year for JFK. JFK became a center of excellence in minimally invasive GYN surgery by the Surgical Review Corporation. It also elevated its services in cardiology by receiving its renewal approval as a designated STEMI receiving center from the Riverside County EMS, received approval for its renewal as an accredited chest pain center with PCI from the Society of Chest Pain Centers, and received elective PCI, which is percutaneous cardiac intervention, certification from the California Department of Public Health. This is all in addition to its continued achievement as a Gold Plus Award recipient in heart failure under the Get With The Guidelines with the American Heart Association. In January of this year, JFK received advanced certification for primary stroke center from the Joint Commission, and then on November 14th was designated as a primary stroke center by Riverside County EMS, the 12th hospital in Riverside County to receive this designation. It's important to recognize that within your expanded district boundaries, JFK Memorial Hospital is able to provide life-saving treatment options for the residents in the East Coachella Valley. These achievements, in addition to recruiting additional primary care and specialty physicians to our service area, only strengthens the access to health the district promotes for all of whom they represent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Are there other public comments at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. The consent agenda includes the minutes from the last Board of Directors meeting, the minutes from the October the financial statements from the Finance and Administration Committee, a lease from the Finance and Administrative Committee. Are there any people that want to take anything off the consent agenda? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to accept the consent agenda?
Motion to accept.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I have a question. Because it was accepting a lease, do we have to take a roll call?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. We're now going to return to the healthcare district CEO report. And I'm going to turn to Dr. Bartziga.
Thank you. The first item I want to give a brief update to the board is related to our last meeting.
I interrupted myself on a mistake. I just redialed it.
Okay, we got you.
You're back.
At the last meeting, we had.
I voted yes on the last.
Got it.
Just directly, I voted aye on the last call.
Okay.
At the last meeting, we had a number of members of the public that came and expressed their concerns with regarding issues of environmental health and airborne environmental hazards that were affecting the eastern Coachella Valley, particularly around the communities in Thermal, where there were illegal fires that were dumping smoke on that community. After our board meeting, the staff was able to gather community resources and create an emergency clinic that was deployed at one of the high schools in Thermal. We were there from October 26th through October 30th and were able to distribute about 30,000 portable respirators thanks to the donation from the RMC. And we were able to put together emergency clinics with the contributions from UCR Family Residency Program. We also were able to get resources from Borrego and from Clínica de Salud del Pueblo. They all came to our call and provided emergency medical care to the community and the schools. But I think that the most important thing is that we need to be engaged, I believe, in the near future to continue our work in the prevention, mitigation, and response to the airborne environmental hazards. One of the conversations that we had as a result of that work was with our Congressman, Dr. Raul Ruiz, and actually he sent his staff, was here to read the letter on behalf of Congressman Ruiz. Peter, would you please?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Doctor. My name is Peter Carlson, and I'm a field representative of Congressman Ruiz. I've been instructed to not read the entire letter. It's been provided to all the directors in their packets and everything, but there is one thing that, one paragraph that I did want to highlight that that outlined the Congressman's kind of vision for the way that the, or the role that the Desert Healthcare District could play in this situation. He says, I believe that your mission to achieve optimal health at all stages of life for all district residents positions the Desert Healthcare District as the organization who is perfectly situated to play a key role in the comprehensive environmental justice collaboration and produce a strategic plan that includes an assessment of air quality threats, lessons learned, and a plan with recommendations for prevention, mitigation, and response to airborne environmental hazards for the benefit of the community's public health. And of course, this would be taking a public health approach. There are other stakeholders involved, for example, the sovereign tribal nations, the Torres Martinez tribe, the 29 Palms Band of Mission Indian, Cabazon Band of Mission Indian, as well as the Coachella Valley Unified School District, the county, et cetera. But like the congressman just said in his letter, the public health approach is really something that he would like to see addressed, and we believe that Desert Healthcare District is well situated for that. So. Thank you.
Great. If I can just add, at the last board meeting, the board instructed the staff to look at opportunities for the district to participate. And Dr. Barsega and I met with Congressman Ruiz, and this was something he felt that was a unique role that the district could play. Not that we are going to take this over or that it's our responsibility, but the tribal nations are independent entities, and the county has a role, and the federal government has a role, and somebody needs to kind of coordinate this and to be able to take a public health approach, which is what the congressman is advocating and what is being proposed.
Thank you. And we will have additional conversation about this topic on the foundation's agenda, since we have some resources that have been allocated to the foundation.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Ruben Perez, and I'm a field rep for Assemblymember Garcia. To extend our support of the Desert Healthcare District consideration of funds allocation to help Eastern Coachella Valley residents whose health is impacted by poor air quality. We believe that the healthcare district can play a pivotal role in addressing the environmental justice issues affecting the well-being of our community. Air pollution caused by smog, dust, and smoke from brush fires contribute to a high concentration of PM2.5 and PM10 in our air. We hear that the residents in the area suffer from allergies and other respiratory issues. In fact, the asthma rates in the Coachella Valley have been reported to be higher than the national average, and the discrepancy between the region and the national average is even higher in children. Through AB 617, a bill co-authored by Assemblymember Garcia, there is a clear framework for community-driven mitigation to air quality issues. We strongly push for the ECV to be a year two community for the AB 617 program. And if selected, feel the district should be able to be at the table along with tribes, activists, and community members working to clean our air. Thanks to the expansion of the district into the Eastern Coachella Valley and the possibility for the board to help mitigate these health concerns there. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the board or comments?
I have a comment. I just want to mention that during the last meeting, when the board gave some direction to our CEO to look into it and to come back and tell us how we can be a part of this, I really appreciate the fact that our CEO really got involved, that he made an extra effort to get to contact different organizations, the school district, the Borrego and Clinicas. I think you did an amazing job. You were able to get some action really quickly down there. So I really appreciate the fact of your quick thinking and your ability to work to bring people together on a common goal. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just have a comment. In another life, I spent a lot of time with the South Coast Air Quality Management District, which is a remarkable organization with tremendous resources and scientists and whatever. And probably, other than the EPA, who may or may not be here as long, and they work with the EPA regularly, probably the organization with the most resources. And I don't know whether we can form some kind of meeting, at least with the Coachella Valley representatives to the South Coast Air Quality Management District, so that, because they have the measuring devices, the expertise and the knowledge in this field better than anyone else.
Absolutely, and one of the district's role is to find out who has the data, what data isn't out there yet,
right,
and what can we do to get the data,
yeah,
that we need. But there is data out there. Why should we recreate it?
Exactly, and that's a role, yeah, I think we could help, government to government would be helpful.
Good. Absolutely.
Continue with your report, please.
The next item is I want to provide a brief update on the Community Health Needs Assessment and the Health Improvement Plan. We released the RFP on October 28th, The RFP has been distributed among many organizations. We had a bidders conference webinar on November 14 to provide information to interest applicants. We had about 20 participants from 11 different organizations. We're expecting a number of participants that will be submitting proposals to us. We have received over 40 questions regarding the district and the process. And one of the items that we have for action is consideration to approve some external reviewers. We anticipate to hire two or three external reviewers to help us with the evaluation of the proposals. That will help us, number one, with the knowledge and expertise we are looking for, a doctor in public health or PhDs in public health that have the expertise in community health needs assessment and the design of health improvement plans. And the stipends that we would offer is $1,500 for each of the reviewers, two or three of those.
So. Do I hear a motion to accept the recommendation?
I motion to accept.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Excuse me. Director Shore?
Approved.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perez-Gil?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLauro?
Yes.
And President Zindel?
Yes.
Thank you. The next item on my report is the proposed board workshop with Martin Rauch, which has provided consulting services to the district. And we're planning to have a session, a special meeting of the district in January. We don't have a date yet, but since we are working on the process of obtaining the certification from the Association of Healthcare Districts, part of that is updating board policies and a number of communication items that we believe it will be an important board development activity to have that conversation with, facilitated by Martin Rauch. And the last item I have in my report is a consideration to approve up to $1,800 for a board and staff holiday dinner that we are planning to host on December 19 within the boundaries of the district. And since we are going to be allocating public funding for that, we need to have approval of the board.
And according to Mr. Scott, alcohol cannot be, we can't spend money on alcohol. Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It was moved by Director Perez-Gil and seconded by Director Matthews. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Oh, actually, we have to have a roll call because it's much.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perez-Gil?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLauro?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes. Okay, I'd like to ask Michelle Finney, the CEO of Desert Regional Medical Center, to give her report.
I'm going to sneak over here because I don't like having my back.
Come up here if you want.
I have an abbreviated report for you this evening, just a couple of items to update you on with hospital operations. First, we have concluded our contract with the California Nurses Association. The new contract and the contract terms were ratified last week by a vote of the membership of the California Nurses Association. That contract will run for a period of 3.5 years, so we're very pleased. I think it worked well for all parties, and we're just very pleased to have that concluded. We did receive our fall score for LeapFrog. We received a C for the last reporting period. We've been a C for the last three reporting periods. We did fall short of a B by a 0.0361 point. So we have been deep diving into the data, and you know, although we are not complete and the medical professionals are not complete in their assessment, we are seeing some trend in the data where there's a correlation to some of these fallout cases with that are transferred into the facility for critical care resources that are not otherwise available in the community. But we have several categories in which we performed quite well, and we do anticipate that we'll be going into more detail and having a more robust discussion as scheduled with the district's governance and oversight meeting taking place in
December 19th.
We are continuing on, and we are on schedule with several of the physical plant upgrades that are currently in process. And just to remind you, the list is rather mighty. We're doing a facility-wide nurse call upgrade. We've been working on a pharmacy project for the better part of the year that is starting to come to conclusion. We are still underway with the upgrade on the isolation rooms in the Sinatra Tower. And because that requires we take out some of the bed count, that will be a multi-phased, rather long-duration project. I would expect it to go for close to another year and a half to complete that work. The emergency room upgrades are still on schedule to be completed in the first quarter of next year. We've completed the first two phases of the central processing department replacement and upgrade work, and we're getting ready to enter into the third phase. And we have started the planning process, because as you know, we're going through and rebuilding, reconstructing, and remodeling some of the elevators within the facility. It is an OSHPA approval project, so it does take some planning and some fabrication of the materials needed. So that planning process is in place. By way of some community involvement, we did host 9 events in the last month, and we participated in 5 health fairs. We participated in 4 walks and fundraisers with Paint El Paseo Pink, the Desert AIDS Walk, the Alzheimer's Walk, as well as the Heart Walk. I'm kind of pleased to tell you that there's a lot of employee morale around the Heart Walk, and it actually was a record donation achieved from the employees contributing to that particular event. And in addition, we did participate in both the Pride Parade as well as the Veterans Administration Parade. And that's my abbreviated report.
Great, thank you. Board members have any questions or comments? Okay.
I have a question. The 10% of the hospital's activity
You're welcome to make a public comment, but and you can say whatever you want as a question, but there won't be a response to your question. But you're welcome to make a public comment.
All right, I have the question, and the comment, I suppose, is that I did not get a sufficient answer when I asked the last time, what are the other ancillary services that represent more than 10% of the hospital's economic activity? More than 10% of its employees, more than 10% of the nurses, and isn't represented that way at just about any other hospital in the state, including other tenant facilities.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm going to give the report from the governing board meeting, which was held on November 21st. Every year, a couple doctors that are on the governing board and a couple community members rotate off. And at this meeting, we approved the election of a new community board member, Chairman Jeff Gruby of the Agua Caliente Board of Cahuilla Indians, and he'll be joining the board in January. There's one other community member that will be voted on next month, and a couple of doctors that have been added. Just briefly, Michelle gave the CEO report. A couple things that she mentioned, though, that she didn't mention, but I will, is that as always, we went through both the closed and open cases from the California Department of Public Health, so that the board is aware of those things. She also told us that there is an employee that just celebrated her 45th year of employment at Desert Regional Medical Center. And this is relevant to the healthcare district because we have a retirement plan that is left over from people who were employees before 1997, and I presume she is one of those. It was reported that there's been a significantly favorable decrease in employee turnover this year, which I think is important. And also, it was mentioned that of the 2019 residency graduating class, there was significant retention, 4 doctors in family practice, 6 in internal medicine, and 5 in emergency department. That's one reason why both Desert Regional Medical Center and Eisenhower really want to promote graduate medical education because the place where physicians train is where they usually end up living. And we have a shortage of healthcare providers in the Coachella Valley, and our residency programs are a very important part to help fix that. As was mentioned, on December 19th, the Hospital Lease Oversight Committee will have an in-depth report and discussion on the latest leapfrog results. And finally, as we do at every governing board meeting, the medical staff and peer review report was done on all the physicians who are having their annual or biannual credentialing and reports on proctoring. And then we review peer review cases that have been reviewed by the departments to see whether the quality of care was met or not met. And that's the end of my report. I'm now going to turn to Director Matthews for the finance and administration report.
Enclosed in your packet are the meeting minutes from the November 12th meeting for your review and information. We have one action item.
That's the addition
to the agenda.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Let me take the first one. As you know, we're looking at the hospital lease transaction, and we're hiring some consultants to assist with that. And in this particular one, there's an agreement with a political consultant, Strategies 360, not to exceed $69,000, and the committee forwarded it to the board for consideration approval, and I'd move approval of that.
I have questions.
There's a move and a second, and
I guess I did second.
You're good.
So discussion.
In our October agenda, pages 106 through like 150 something, you had shared with us three different consultants. My first question is, why do we now only have one? Is that something that
it kind of went to the committee and we pared it down to the one that was recommended.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah.
My second comment is, after the October agenda, my personal choice would have been Clifford Moss. It's only $11,000 more, but they offer a lot more to the district as far as strategy, planning. Their report had already done a lot of the work. As someone who works in politics and helps get people elected and helps things and measures pass, they seemed like the better option for what may come. So that's it. Those were the only.
Yeah, no, that's good. And that's an area where you have far more expertise than your miserly treasurer, who just counts money. And that's kind of where I went. I don't have a problem, especially with the time of year we're in, tabling this item for a month and you can get together with others and see, because I don't think, frankly, much is going to happen until after the first of the year. I just honestly can't evaluate political consultants as well as I can evaluate dollars.
And then my last question is, we talk about a retainer. Would the retainer start after today? Would it start when we call them and need them?
No, let me just sort of make clear. This is to get something on paper so that if and when an agreement is made to go forward with the hospital lease of some kind or hospital future in some kind, we would be able to retain a political consultant. So
we would pay no one today. We would just have something on paper the board would have acted on.
Yes.
Okay.
That's my understanding. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, if you feel strongly about this, I got no problem. I'll support tabling it for a month.
I want to say that maybe the staff doing its role evaluated all the proposals. We had meetings with the different consultants, and we believe that this was the best proposal that we received. And the answer to the question of what would happen after today, what is proposed is to have to make a decision to sign the service agreement with Strategies 360 that would establish that service agreement that wouldn't be triggered any service until we decide it's time. the challenge of not having this type of service agreement is that we might receive something tomorrow and we're not prepared or ready to present a response to that.
My question is, if we don't receive something in the next year, are we retaining someone between now and that year?
We would retain, we would have at least this contract with Strategist 360. And if nothing happens, well...
It doesn't start until we trigger it.
Exactly. It doesn't start until we trigger it.
But I do believe, I mean, the people that I would know that are close to tenant have said we're going to hear something in the not too distant future, which means probably within the next quarter.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
So what do you want to do?
Is there any other discussion?
Well, I am curious about Karen's point about whether this is, you know, even though I appreciate staff's input, but if we can just postpone it for a month and have an opportunity to review the comments that Board Member Borja has, I think that would be a good idea.
Do I hear a motion to do something?
Just table it.
Just table it for a month.
Do it.
So are you making a motion?
I make a motion.
Is there a second?
Well,
a
the
second.
Original maker will.
Okay, and council, what is required to table a majority vote?
Just a motion, that's fine.
Yeah, four.
Just go ahead.
Okay, all in favor of tabling, say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. Aye.
Good.
We'll table it. Okay.
Okay, then the item we added to the lease agreement, or excuse me, to the agenda, was a lease agreement at the Las Palmas Medical Plaza for suite 1W104. For the life of the lease, it's $110,257. And this allows this doctor to get into practice sooner. And I would need approval of that lease when the item we entered on the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perez-Gil?
Yes.
Vice President Lara?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes.
So is this going to make us at 100% or are we still at 98 point something?
What?
Andrea?
We're at 97.
I'm sorry, Director Matthews. I'm
Hi.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Are we now at 100% occupied?
I believe so.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yes,
congratulations.
100% occupancy.
I wasn't sure what you were referring to. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not many people have 100% occupancy. I'll
yeah,
just say that.
That's fantastic.
Director Rogers is not here tonight because she is indisposed. The program committee has, for information purposes, the meeting minutes. We receive progress and final reports on grants and letters of interest in pending applications. Before we move to the one action item, does the board have any questions about any of those?
Nope.
Okay, then I'm going to turn to Ms. Craig to present the grant 1021.
Okay. We have before you a grant request that had been approved by the program committee to forward to the board. It is for $143,787 to the NeuroVitality Center for their community-based adult services, their CBAS program as well. This was a collaborative effort between the Desert Healthcare District and Regional Access Project Foundation. Without either one of us funding, the NeuroVitality Center would not have been able to go forward with being able to become an adult-based, community-based adult services center. They've done a lot of renovation, and I am pleased to say that they received a letter November 21st, which is a couple days ago, from the California Department of Aging, that therefore your agency is now authorized to provide adult daycare health services and CBAS at NeuroVitality Center. So the program committee did forward this to the board for recommendation for approval. And,
great. Do any board members have any questions? Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
A Second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, we'll have roll call.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perez-Gil?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLauro?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes.
Okay, and one comment? Can I make one comment?
Yes.
There's a lot of money for both agencies, but I think that we are putting our money in an organization that deserves our support, and this is a great service to the residents. So thank you very much for Neural Vitality for stepping forward and taking this very, I think, a courageous step.
And I want to acknowledge the people from the Neural Vitality Center that are here today to answer any questions that we might have had that we didn't. Better safe than sorry.
I know most of you know me. I hope everybody knows Bob Fay, who is our president of our board. And we really want to thank you for the long-term support that you've given us. And this is a big, this is a major step for the center to now be a licensed adult daycare as well as a CBAS provider. We'll be able to expand our services to a lot of patients within the valley that we have not been able to handle before and give them a level of medical and social care that they haven't had before. So it's a major thing for the valley, and thank you all for your support in helping us do this.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would add your board and organization have a reputation that's outstanding and prestigious. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're now going to go to old business. At the last meeting, the board approved the Coachella 2 map for the 2020 election, and now we have a formal resolution to approve, which I believe is on page 124 of the agenda. Councillor, do you want to add anything?
Other than this formalizes the action that was taken October 22nd and provides us the opportunity to send it over to the registrar voters so that not this election, but the election in 2020 will have accurate boundaries. So if you would go ahead and approve this, that would be great.
Okay. Let me just ask, is there any public comment?
Yes. It's the Choya 2.
Choya
2. And are there any board comments or questions? Then we'll call the roll.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perez-Gil?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLauro?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes. And the next is approval of a CalFresh Healthy Living Program agreement. And again, I'll turn to Ms. Craig.
Okay. Again, this is just a formality to approve the contract. The board back in January 25th, 2019 unanimously voted to approve the transition from the original NEOP program, Nutrition Education Obesity Prevention, to CalFresh. This is a 3-year grant, up to $110,000 per year for a total of $330,000. So again, we're working very closely with Fine Food Bank, because food pantries are involved, and we're looking forward to working with them with their project produce and helping make this grant a success. So this is, again, it's just a formality to formalize the board's approval.
Do I hear a motion to accept? Approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion or public comment? Hearing none, roll call.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perez-Gil?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLauro?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes. The last item of old business is the quarter three progress report. On CV link from CVAG, your packet has a letter, a report. And Erica Felci, did you want to add anything?
We look forward to continuing our conversation with the district and finalizing grant contract.
Great. Is there any questions or comments? Great.
I just want to have a comment. I hope that we can move quickly to resolve the issues and to get the contract moving forward.
Okay, thank you.
I have another question. We didn't have our study session. Will we be having something public?
It'll come to you in open session.
Okay.
Yeah, we're hoping that next month there'll be an item that the board can discuss and make a decision about.
Okay. I just asked that there are financials and budgets included the same way, I'm assuming, right, the same way all of our other clients?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Same process as all of our others.
It has to have all the information.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any new business? Okay, Counselor, did you have any legal comments?
I know you're all excited to hear the legal report. I know that, I just think, note that of 1,042 bills that made it to the governor's desk, he signed 870 and vetoed 172. His veto rate was at 16.5% and slightly higher than Governor Brown. And in your packet is some discussion and then some bills of interest that affect healthcare districts that I'll invite your attention to. And it does appear that he's next year, he's still trying to move toward a single-payer health system. But nobody knows exactly what a single-payer health system means. So just stay tuned, and it's in your packet if you want to look at it more specifically. That's all I have.
Okay. Do any directors want to make any comments before we move to the foundation agenda? And you could also defer your comments to the end of that meeting, too.
We got to visit the Ronald McDonald House, who we have recently given a grant of a little over $200,000, and it was wonderful. There is not, from what we saw and what we heard and experienced, there is not a single dollar that is spent anywhere other than with the patients, their families, and upkeeping the home. It's a beautiful 50-room facility. 20% of the people that were there that day were from the Coachella Valley, and that's pretty constant. It was incredible. It made me feel very, very proud of the district, of our ability to provide for our families. I shared with them there, right? Like, my big question was, why are we sending this money out of the Coachella Valley? Why are we not keeping those resources here, or building whatever our kids need here? And your answer back to me was, because it's better to keep health services for children in a more specialized, formal way, and the Ronald McDonald House is doing that and a lot more. So genuinely very grateful for my colleagues for saying yes to them. And
just to clarify, this is for the Children's Hospital
correct.
At Loma Linda.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. The Children's Hospital in Loma Linda,
yeah.
The Ronald McDonald House. So
great, thank you.
Thumbs up.
I'm glad you went to see it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, if there are no other comments, I'm going to adjourn this meeting, and I'm going to call to order the foundation meeting. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, we can. Here. Director Shore.
Present.
Director Borjas.
Here.
Director Tresgill.
Here.
Director Matthews.
Here.
Vice President Delara.
Here.
President Zender.
Here. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second?
So moved.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. And the agenda is approved.
Have you approved the agenda?
Yes.
Do you want to make a statement?
Yes. Oh, did you?
Oops.
Yes. Yes, I would like to postpone the behavioral health initiative to the next meeting.
Is there any objection? Okay, then it's approved, it's modified.
That's fantastic.
Okay. All right. We now have time for public comment for things that are not on the agenda of the foundation. We limit speakers to 3 minutes. We can't take any action if things are not on the agenda. Public may make comments on things that are on the agenda later. Is there any public comment for the foundation? Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. The consent agenda has the board minutes from the last foundation meeting, the finance and administrative financial statements from the meeting last week, and that's it. Do I hear a motion to accept the consent agenda?
So moved. Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Great. Okay, CEO report. And we removed the behavioral health initiative, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, we table that for the next.
Okay.
This is a consideration to approve an allocation of $500,000 from the Avery Family Trust to address the protection of pulmonary respiratory health of Eastern Coachella Valley population against airborne environmental hazards. This is a result of the work that we initiated after the last board meeting and it responds to the concerns raised by the community. The challenge, one of the greatest challenges that we face as a district is that the population, especially the children in Eastern Coachella Valley, exhibit a rate of asthma and other respiratory issues that are three times the average of the state and of the nation. And we need to address this topic to prevent, mitigate, and respond to airborne environmental hazards in the area. We have the fund that we received from the Robert Avery Family Trust that he left upon his death in 1982, and the district foundation received that fund 20 years later. And the staff recommends to allocate an initial $500,000 fund from the Avery Family Trust to address the airborne environmental hazards affecting Eastern Coachella Valley to advance research and rehabilitation solutions for the Eastern Coachella Valley population.
And this is in direct relation to what we talked about in the last meeting to support the district's role in helping the tribal nations and the county and AQMD and FEMA and et cetera, et cetera, trying to clarify everything together.
That will support long-term solutions to the hazards we have in Eastern Coachella Valley.
Okay, and it is a document on page
18.
20 of the foundation report, foundation agenda. Are there any, first of all, are there any questions that board members have?
I guess I want to be clear on what it is that we're going to do with the $500,000. I believe that the congressman, in his letter, there were some specific things that he asked that we address. And are those the things that we're going to do with the money?
Those are exactly the things that we will do with the money, which includes having a facilitated process to do the research, to identify data gaps, and to have a report at the end that will prepare us for the future.
Okay, and so that would also include on how to respond to future incidents?
Yes.
Because I believe the communication breakdown was a major problem.
There was a significant communication breakdown. Nobody knew who to call, what to do. There were discrepancies between information that was being received from different agencies and what the school district was thinking to do. The community didn't know what to do, and it was very disruptive for the life of our residents in Eastern Coachella Valley. And this has been a pervasive issue. It's not something new. It was just much bigger this time.
Okay, so I would be in favor of this if we are to stipulate that that's what the money's going to be used for, okay, those things that you just outlined. Thank you.
So are there any other questions or comments from the board?
This will, Ruben Perez from Assemblymember Garcia's office mentioned legislation that has already been passed. This study will also include a study of legislation to see what people's rights are and how they should be protected, as already stated by law.
I believe that the work will not include studying legislation, although we will look at every resource, political policy, public policy, and
that
otherwise.
That was my question.
Yes.
Thank you.
But yes.
Yeah, I mean, what I learned is that there are resources out there, but people need to know how to access them. And they need to be, because there are so many jurisdictions involved, accessing federal and state funds can be tricky. And so one of the things that our role is to help the tribes and the county, et cetera, know what's out there and how best to access them.
One other thing, is this to hire the facilitator only, or are you going to have to hire a staff member? To
a facilitator.
Okay.
I think the action tonight is just the allocation.
Right.
I suspect the staff's going to come back to you on the programs and services that they're going to offer with that. So this is simply just the threshold issue of being able to allocate the Avery Trust funds towards this.
And I presume if you did come forward with some job description, it would be brought to the board for our approval. Okay, is there any public comment on this? Hearing none, and no more discussion, we'll have a roll call.
Excuse me, who made the motion? And who seconded?
Who made the motion to approve?
I made the first. I made the motion, I think. I'll take it.
First and second.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perezkio?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Delara?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes.
Can I add one thing? I never met Mr. Avery, but I met Mrs. Avery in Monterey one time. And there was an ACHD thing there, and was introduced to her at, believe it or not, Pebble Beach Golf Club, but I wasn't playing, but that's where the meeting took place. And a lovely family, obviously a wealthy family, and I think this is the kind of thing that would be right, consistent with the type of work she would like to have seen.
Yeah.
And she died in 2012.
And I would also add, even though it's not specifically mentioned, is the sea issues affecting air quality is very much a part of this. So it will also be considered. All right. Homelessness Collective Fund.
In July, the board approved a $50,000 allocation to be matched with other donations, and that was to support the City of Palm Springs overnight cooling centers during the summer. We received about $25,000 donations, which we matched, and we provided $50,000 to the City of Palm Springs to operate and maintain open those cooling centers during the summer. The weather has switched now to cooler times, and the city still needs to operate those centers as now heating centers, and we have those $25,000. They haven't been matched, but we believe it would be a good use for the city to have those $25,000 and keep operating the heating centers or warming centers every night until the end of the year.
Do I hear a motion? I'll move it.
Second.
Second. All right. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Yep.
The funds for the summer fund were going not just to the City of Palm Springs, but to Cathedral City and Desert Hot Springs, correct? Will these funds continue that trend?
No, because the Cathedral City and the Desert Hot Springs Center is closed, closed, and the only one that's still operating is in Palm Springs.
Okay.
And again, by having these here, it relieves pressure off CV Rescue Mission and Martha's Village, and so it's important that we have resources in the West. And there are other things happening, but this is something we can do right now.
Thank you.
So my comment or my question is the city also there? I'm assuming, and I just want to be not having to assume, is the city contributing funding to this as well?
Dr. Reddy, do you want to say something?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Yes, we
Dr. Reddy is the city manager of Palm Springs.
Thank you. We are currently providing $25,000 a month. So for example, if you approve this, that would actually allow us to go an additional month, and we're basically would be matching that.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Director Shore.
Director Shore?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perezkio?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Delara?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes. Update on the Eastern Coachella Valley funding?
We released the request for proposals on October 23rd. November 20th, staff hosted an informational session at the Coachella Library. We had 18 different nonprofit organizations from Eastern Coachella Valley that attended that informational session. We have received thus far 4 letters of intent. The staff is coordinating with those organizations to do a site visit. We anticipate that there will be many other organizations that will be submitting their LOIs. And it is likely that the grant application for this funding opportunity will be coming through the program committee either in December or in January.
Great. Any questions from the board? Okay.
Oh, I do have a question. Okay. Is it accurate that if an organization wants to apply that they have to have audits?
If it's over 5,000, yes.
If it's over 5,000 but not under, okay.
They can apply for a mini grant at 5,000. Up to 5,000 for a mini grant and not require audited financials.
Okay.
Approved board policy.
Okay, and I'm just wondering, maybe that's something we could discuss again for at one of the committee levels, so I can have a better understanding of the pros and cons for having that policy in place.
That would either have to go to the program committee or the finance administration committee, or is it a policy?
The conversation we're going to have with Martin Rauch is precisely about the number of policies that need to be updated for our certification process, so we can include this policy as one of the conversation topics.
Okay. And the reason why that I bring that up is because being with the Regional Access Project Foundation, I'm hearing that there are organizations that are interested in applying for the Desert Healthcare District money, but they're now asking RAP for money for the audits. So I'm just wondering, just wanted to discuss that to see how we can collaborate. If there is a need for it, I just want to have a better understanding of it. Thank you.
Jeff, would you want to comment on the issue of audits for government funds?
Well, I think it's absolutely essential. I mean, we've had experiences where we've given grants out and then we didn't, have closely monitored and periodic audits of the organizations to make sure that everything is being done properly. And it can be very embarrassing situation of when somebody absconds with the money and it's a public money that you've done. So part of your fiduciary duty is to ensure that these kinds of things are in place and that they're properly monitored.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a quick comment.
Yeah.
I appreciate this meeting. I know I wasn't in town for it, but one of the comments that I had heard, not once but a couple times, is that the district expanded and the thought was that there was going to be all this money to the East Valley. I think Director Carroll alluded to that very eloquently at our last meeting, that there actually, the expansion didn't come with further funding. And so I appreciate this meeting because it sets a very clear tone for people in the East Valley, right? Like the district last year approved $300,000 for 20 years. So I would here publicly ask that we continue to share that publicly with people, but this was a very good first step and I appreciate it that you all held this meeting and were like very transparent and forthright with people. Like, this is the only money available to the East Valley. The expansion did not come with money. This is the conversation we're having right now. So thank you.
But I also think, in addition to saying that, we also have to stress that as an expanded district, there may be opportunities for us to partner with other funding agencies to make sure that there's additional money to go to the East Valley. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Finance and Administration Committee, just meeting minutes.
Yeah, all it's in there are the minutes from November 12th.
Okay, great. Old business. Homelessness Initiative. Who would like to? Donna?
Is this the grant?
Yeah, this is the grant.
Okay. You have before you a grant request from the City of Palm Springs asking to continue to match matching dollars to support the mental health housing crisis team, the wraparound services that the district had provided in the past $450,000. The last one ended in June 30th, 2019. They submitted a final report, which will be in the next packet that you'll be able to read. Staff was looking at this because the grant request that you see in there is actually for $450,000 a year for 2 years. So they were looking for $900,000. To support the mental health housing crisis teams and wraparound services. Staff had various conversations with different council members and Dr. Reddy, and we came to the conclusion that we are recommending that we fund
that the board approve funding for 1 year at $225,000, while the city seeks other sources of funding to continue with the mental health housing crisis team and wraparound services. We have other collaboratives, the collective going on. The district has put in another $1 million into the collective fund that was going to match other cities with the CVAG Housing First. Path of Life is now, contract has been extended and it's been ramped up. So there are other programs and projects going out there for CV Housing First that also complement the mental health housing crisis team that City of Palm Springs is doing.
If I may also add, I think that the district has made clear that it wants the Coachella Valley to have a collaborative valley-wide approach to homelessness, and we do that through CVAG and through their homelessness task force. And the reason to do that is so that there aren't silos and that everybody's sort of on the same page, that we're dealing with not just the East and the West, but the collective Coachella Valley. On the other hand, we didn't want to see this program just close because the collaborative is just getting off the ground, and we wanted to do some what I'll call bridge funding so that it gives a chance for it to continue and to look for other funds. So, are there any questions or comments?
Yes. So to that end, that the collaborative hasn't started, is there an opportunity or is there not an opportunity for these resources to also affect the City of Cathedral City and the City of Desert Hot Springs?
The teams are specific to Palm Springs because they work with the police officers, and that the police officers are, and then the city is contracted with Riverside County Department of Mental Health for this. There could be an opportunity, yes, that these teams could float. That would be something we could talk to Marcus Cannon about. And I know the City of Palm Desert has a team, which they pay for themselves out of their own general fund budget. So it would be a necessity in Cathedral City and Desert Hot Springs, and I think they would welcome the opportunity to have these teams.
And I think you point out why we need to take a collaborative approach. And right now, the collaborative is the CVAG Homelessness Task Force. And Dr. Reddy, did you want to add anything?
Sure. I mean, that raises a good point. So like the overnight shelter we have, clearly there are residents there from other cities as well, and we recognize that's going to occur. In this program, we're finding that there are people from other cities that basically are in Palm Springs that are getting those services. So we're not certainly turning anyone away. We recognize there's going to be a sort of a fungibility of populations from surrounding cities. So that collaboration is certainly something the council subcommittee has been open to talking about, and I think that dialogue would be welcomed.
Can you share with me the reason why you're requesting funding for police officers? My understanding is homelessness is not a crime. That's my first thought. Yeah. My second one is that we have shared funds for the recognition program that you received funding for, I believe. It was a couple months ago. I don't really remember it 100%. So those are my two comments around the police officers. Can I have some clarification? Yes.
Good point. So these are police officers who are specifically assigned and trained to deal with homelessness issues. So, and it's not from the criminal aspect, it's more of the social service aspect. So when the situation is required, they accompany the social service personnel, but a lot they're out there doing it with them in a social service atmosphere. They can deal with other issues that are ancillary to that when they need to, but they're very clear that sometimes they need to be up front, many times they need to be in the back. So they're trained specifically for that because we're very sensitive to that issue. That being said, the police cost is approximately at least almost $500,000 that we're doing. The match that you're doing primarily will be more towards Martha's Village and the county services. So we're going to be having to continue the cost of that police officers pretty much from the general fund, and we anticipate that would be the case. And the second question, I wasn't sure what that question was.
Were you talking about the Familiar Faces?
Thank you, the Familiar Faces program.
The 25 Familiar Faces, I believe, now has been morphed into CBAG's 100 Familiar Faces.
Heat funding, was that the heat funding?
Yeah.
Heat funding, yes. That's through CBAG, but it was specific to Palm Springs, but I think it's now been combined for 100 Familiar Faces.
Yes, and what I can add to that is, that will be potentially what, working with CBAG, with the old former boxing club, which is across from the airport, that program, in essence, which is you're going to have the night shelter at night, the day shelter, potentially this program, and you clearly understand that it will almost be a regional body that will have people from both Cathedral City and Desert Hot Springs as well.
Two more questions, probably for you. What is the link between these funds and ensuring that summer 2020 does not see the same crisis as summer 2019?
In some crisis in terms of?
Like needing emergency funding, not having a shelter, needing to
next
occupy.
Summer is homeless yeah. overnight.
No, it will be there. It will be there the same as it was in the past. The interesting thing, though, is we've never done in the past. You know, as you know, social services is not the jurisdiction of the city. The county doesn't have the capacity to deal with the problems as we know, so it's on our doorsteps. We're forced to do it, and this council is actually glad to do it. That being said, so the partnership that we have with the district, and now the other things we've been able to do with CBAG, we've opened the shelter for the first time, this summer shelter at night. And the numbers have sort of been staggering, actually. And it was so staggering and sort of so successful in the sense that when you combine that with the wraparound services and the other things that we're doing, council said, well, wait, how can we just close this now at the end of summer? Because now it's freezing. So we moved some money around to keep it going. Now we're back here asking you for support, so we appreciate that. So you're right, now we get to next summer, and we're not gonna have the funding to do it, but we don't wanna close it. So we're gonna have to figure it out between now and next summer. So the long and short of this is the $10 million grant that we're gonna get from the state, that is geared towards the permanent facility. And I think in our minds, we're hoping that we get that launched. And whatever that permanent facility becomes will then sort of be the focus of, you know, is it the continuation of the shelter next summer? Is it the other things that we have to do around the navigation center, et cetera, et cetera? But it will be what we're recognizing, and which you've known all along, it's going to have to be more of a regional approach. So that being said, that's sort of a long answer to the best we're trying to do right now.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
That's
any other comments or questions? I'm glad we're partnering with the City of Palm Springs. It's important that the homeless people on the west side of the Coachella Valley have some resources. Otherwise, because the resources in the East Valley can't handle them all. And it's true that Martha's Village and CVRM are begging the west side to take care of the people that are here so that they can take care of the people that are in the east. So, we appreciate partnering with the City of Palm Springs.
And Mr. Chairman, if I just say, really, on behalf of the council, we truly appreciate your support and partnership, and we will do everything to make sure that your trust in us is not misplaced. Thank you.
Okay, if there's no more discussion, I guess we'll have a roll call.
I did not hear a motion or a second.
I move to approve the grant.
And who seconded it?
Second.
Thank you.
Second.
Director Shore.
We need one of those boards like Palm Springs has. Could we borrow yours? Or maybe even have our meetings. No, never mind.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perezio?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President DeLauro?
Yes.
President Zinda?
Of course, yes. Okay, is there any new business? All right. Director comments, reports, information items, staff direction, and guidance.
Anybody? So
happy Thanksgiving.
I do want to get some clarity on something. We have approved the use of $500,000 to address the airborne environmental hazards in the Coachella Valley. Part of that will be to conduct research to identify gaps and document needs, resources, etc. The other part of that would be supporting hiring a consultant who can help facilitate those meetings, take notes, and produce a report for us at the end of what is the appropriate level of information that you would require from me as I pursue finding that consultant. Do you want me to bring back a service agreement, a contract, interviews, candidates? How do you want to proceed with that?
You'll be sending out an RFP?
Could be a request for proposals, yes.
I would like to see an RFP for this amount of money.
Okay. It wouldn't be for that amount of money. We anticipate hiring a consultant, and the typical rate for that type of work is $100 an hour, and the number of hours would be limited to 20 to 30 hours per week.
I think, first of all, I don't want to see this get bogged down in bureaucracy, because it's something we need to do, and I think we need to move quickly because of all the different wheels that are turning. That's number one. Number two, I think it's important that you keep the board informed about what's going on and that the board has an opportunity to comment on things. I think if you were to sign a contract, that has to come to the board. I think if you are hiring a position that is it's not actually a position that's an employee of the district, but you're working with a consultant, so there would probably be a service agreement, and that would have to come to the board for approval. But I don't know that. I mean, I think the board should have an opportunity to give their opinion about any job description or whatever you have, but I don't know that it has to be formally approved by the board. What do you think?
Yeah.
Everybody comfortable with that?
I think that if you bring something back to us by next month, we won't bog you down. And I would like for, because of the fact that I am very interested in being informed and as much as possible to attend those meetings, I would like to ask the board chair to assign me that task, where if I'm available to represent the board at those meetings.
Yeah, I think because the area is mostly in your district zone, whatever we're calling it, that's very appropriate, and I'd like to do that.
Okay, thank you. And I would like you to consider, as you're evaluating potential facilitators, that you have a facilitator that is culturally competent and that is familiar with the area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is really a public health approach, though, and I think it does require a certain amount of training to be able to do it. So,
but to have those two things.
Absolutely. Dr. Barsega, does that give you enough direction?
Yes.
Okay. Any other comments? Great. Well, everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next month. The next meeting is a little early because of the holiday, and it's December
17th,
right?
That's correct.
And it will be here.
That's correct.
And
unless there's something on the agenda that we can have a large public audience, then we will move it.
Yeah, if CV Link is on the agenda, we'll probably have to move
Absolutely.
It to a larger space.
Yes.
Or else just only allow the people that fit and then nobody else.
I don't think that's legal. All right, thank you, everybody. Meeting's adjourned.